Welcome to the Four Fires Podcast, where we talk about winning in all four of the essential areas of life.
Welcome back to the show. Alan and I are here. We're going to be talking a little bit about what to do when you feel like one of your four fires is a little bit stubborn. So recently, where I want to start this conversation was recently I had a meeting with my fire circle, and one of the things that we talked about was a passage of scripture from the book of Romans where Paul talks about, I know what I should do, but I find that I don't do what I know I should do, and the things so he goes on. And through that, we just determined that, man, living four-dimensionally is super hard. And it's like we know the things that we should be doing, and we know that we have these four areas, but it's just like actually doing it is really hard. And so, Alan, what I wanted to talk to you a little bit about is you do a lot of executive coaching, and when you're meeting with people, what is your advice, or what do you see that, your advice that you give, or what do you see other people do that helps them the most whenever they have one or more of their area, their fires that is just like, man, I feel like I'm trying, but I can't gain any ground or see any success in that area.
Yeah. All of us have at least one that just seems to be harder than the others. It's like you throw a log on this fire over here and it, you know, like you get lots of you know, impact.
There's some lighter fluid.
I mean, it was like, man, that was great. I put some energy in that space and I saw some real results. And then sometimes there's this, you know, it seems like this stubborn fire. I put fuel on it, but man, it just does not burn the way that you want it to burn.
It's just smoking.
Yeah. And you just can't quite get it to be what you want. And it's different for everybody. For some people, that fire that is the stubborn fire is like their people fire. It's their marriage. For some people, that fire that they just can't seem to get burning right is their physical fire. They just hadn't been able to figure out, how do I lose weight? How do I put muscle on? How do I, you know, have the disciplines of exercise or the disciplines around eat? For some people, it really is like being able to push themselves professionally to do the thing, you know, to go get a degree that they need or to stay up late to work hard to work on their business. And then similarly, there are people who are resistant and kind of feel like that they can't quite get their spiritual life in line, that they find themselves consistently wrestling with sins that they didn't want to be wrestling with,
or just the whole faith piece.
How do I come to terms with, you know, this whole relational aspect of connecting with my creator? Is there really even a creator there? I think this is, it's very common. In fact, it's probably the reason that you don't just walk around and see four-dimensional people walking around. Is because all of us have this fire that does not come naturally. And so one of the things that I recommend people do is, one, acknowledge that this is a fire that historically has not just been easy for me. When we do executive coaching, we'll have, and even in the small group content, we have people go through this process of telling your story from a four fires lens. Like, tell me about when you were growing up and were you always the fat kid that, you know, were you, you know, whatever it is. Because all of that, you know, all of our past matters because it's how we got to our present and it's going to shape what we need to do going into our future. But if you can identify the fire that just, you know, doesn't seem to be burning well, then one of the things that I think helps the most is to determine first, what is your role in that fire? And what I mean by that, there's a really good book by Donald Miller called Hero on a Mission. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It will help you frame who you are in your own life. And a lot of the language he uses echoes some of that, you know, awareness, ownership, and discipline that we talk about in the Four Fires.
Yeah.
But he highlights these four different types of characters that exist in every kind of story. And by every story, he means every, you know,
life.
Yeah. Like every story that, you know, think about Star Wars, when you think about Lord of the Rings, when you think about your life, there are essentially four characters that play out. And the four characters are this. There are villains. And villains are people who make other people feel small. That part of what they do in life is they go around and they just use their energy to diminish other people. And then there are victims. Victims are people who, man, the circumstances of life just press against them. They squeeze on them, and they just are repressed by the circumstances of life. And then there are heroes. And heroes are people who are just pressed on by the circumstances of life. And they are really, really repressed by these same circumstances, and they choose to fight back, right? It's this, the difference between a victim and a hero is really just agency. That's what he talks about in the book, is
right.
The agency is the belief that I have the power to push back.
Yeah.
And so there's very little distinction between a victim and a hero other than that belief that you have ownership of the space. And then finally, the last type of person that exists in every story is the guide. And the guide's role is to help the hero overcome the thing that they have chosen to press against. And so if you think about, I mean, you know, there's, you think about a Star Wars analogy, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda, they don't do the fighting. They're not the heroes.
Right.
They're the guides for the heroes who are going to do the fighting. And so the first question I have people answer is, if I'm being really honest, in this fire, if it's my people fire and the thing I'm struggling with is my relationship with my wife or my relationships with my kids, or that I don't have any friends, the first question to ask is, am I being a victim or am I being a hero? This is a circumstance in life that I don't like the current, I don't like the situation. I don't like, you know, all of the pieces that are making up this area of my life. So what am I doing? Am I pushing and trying to make it better, or am I just like, yeah, man, that really sucks? Because if you're being a villain, a victim, then you're not owning it, and you won't ever get anywhere.
Right.
But if you can legitimately look yourself in the mirror and say, no, I really am trying to be a hero in this space. Like, yes, my marriage is hard, and I am doing the work to try to make it better. I am pressing into this with hope and energy and optimism, and you're still not getting anywhere. Then the thing to do is to find a guide. And so, you know, that kind of the summation of your question. What do you do for people who they're really struggling in this fire that seems to be really stubborn? All the wood that you throw on it seems to be wet. Well, the first thing to do is to ask yourself the question, am I being a victim or am I being a hero? Am I really pressing again into this and trying to solve it? And then two, if you are trying to solve the problem, and we talk about, am I dealing with it or am I dwelling in it?
Right.
you know, the dwelling in it is I'm being a victim. The dealing with it is I really want to fix this thing. I'm being a hero. Once you've established that you're willing to do the work to be the hero, then if you can't really legitimately within 2 to 3 weeks fix it,
mm-hmm.
go find a guide.
Yeah.
So like an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you just have weight that you have not been, if you know you're overweight and you have not had success at losing weight, there's, it's going to have to do with caloric intake or exercise output.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you should find a guide. Not maybe. You should absolutely find a guide. You should mm-hmm. find a nutritionist, or you should find
a worker partner,
a trainer, somebody who knows what they're doing mm-hmm. and can guide you mm-hmm. in that space. If your marriage is struggling, rather than just shrugging your shoulders and going, yeah, I mean, this really sucks, and not doing anything about it, go find a marriage counselor, somebody who can, a pastor, somebody who will commit to walk down that road with you and give you guidance, because otherwise you're just going to sit in it. If it's your faith journey, if it's your professional fire that you just can't find a guide,
mm-hmm.
there's somebody who can help you. And it is their mission in life and their gift to the planet at that stage in their life to be that person for heroes who are really willing to lean in and push.
Yeah. One of the things you made me think of was if you're a hero, if you're being the hero in your story and you're really trying in life, but you still can't seem to get that success, and so you choose to get a guide, or a lot of times people just call it a mentor, professional yep. mentor, spiritual
coach,
mentor, whatever, coach. Yeah. And that person is being the hero. They're already living into doing all of these things, and then they go get advice to help them with their action that they're already taking. But if you're living in the victim space and then you go seeking a guide or a mentor or a coach, I actually heard this on another talk show that I was listening to it, and it's funny that we're talking about it now because I heard it and I was like, man, that's really good. Because in the past, several years ago, I was like thinking about like, oh, I'm getting to the last years of college, I need to think about getting a mentor. But I wasn't actively like being the hero and doing the things I knew I should be doing. Mm-hmm. So my motive behind getting a guide or a mentor was I just want somebody to tell me all the right answers so that I can figure out how to make a lot of money and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have to get to the hero space before you want to find a guide, because if you're living in the victim, mm-hmm. you know, personality, then finding a guide, your motive with that is you're going to be looking for them to like fix your problem for you, or just give you all the easy answers. And so I think your motive has to be to gain advice and wisdom from that person, and then you actually have to go apply it. So
yeah.
That was just a little thing that I thought of when you were sharing that it's important to.
Yeah. Yeah. The guide is not the person that you find that solves the problem for
right.
you.
That's right.
The guide is the person who, when you're ready to do the work, they can help you go further faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Mm.
And really, it's when the student is ready to lean in and do the work.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things we say on the coaching side is coaching in the absence of a commitment quickly becomes nagging.
Yeah.
And we don't do nagging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, you know, and that's true for any guide. I mean, think about somebody out there that you respect physically. Like they've really mastered their physical fire, or professionally, or maritally, whatever area it is that you wish you were good at. If you go and say, like, hey, I really need some help, and then every time they give you some guidance and some, you kind of give them the meh, well, that mm-hmm. sounds hard, and I don't want, like,
yeah,
they're not gonna hang around real long.
Right.
Like you asked me right. what you needed to do to look like me in the gym,
mm-hmm.
and then every time I told you to, you know, do a push up or a sit up, you said, but that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, come back when you're ready.
Yeah. Exactly.
Versus somebody goes, absolutely, and I'm, yeah, thanks. Thanks for that advice. And then cranks, does the work, and then comes back and says, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, like, well, that's inspiring for a guy. It's like, oh, now we're...
I like this guy.
I like this guy. Here we go.
Let's keep hanging out. Yeah.
And that's the difference. It's that mentality between a victim and a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be really honest with ourselves. In fact, we're doing this exercise with all of our advisors in the company this week. In what fire am I most being a hero?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, do I feel like I am living into the agency, my own personal choice in that space? And what fire, if I'm being really honest with myself, am I being most like a victim in,
mm-hmm.
most passive in, most dwelling
mm-hmm.
in?
Yeah.
And it'll be an interesting exercise for us to see where we land in those spaces. And I encourage anybody in the tribe to, mm-hmm. to kind of do an honest self-evaluation in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that I thought of when you were talking about the guide, I was thinking about, well, I want, you know, I'm not a parent yet, so you could speak more on this topic, but I have parents, so I can look at it from that perspective as a child. But like, if the people fire is the one that's stubborn for you, mm-hmm. and maybe it's with your kids, is what I was thinking about. Maybe it's because you're trying to be the hero in your kids' life,
yeah.
and so you should step back and think about becoming the guide in your child's life rather than trying to be the hero, which I would say could be very detrimental if you never allow your child to be the hero in their life.
For sure.
So you of course could speak more on that topic.
Yeah, and we deal with this a lot in the people fire, and I had a conversation about this yesterday. One of the most difficult transitions for a parent is the transition from being the parent of a child to being the parent of an adult.
Mm.
And the reason that that's challenging is because, you know, we are, you know, the moment that we become parents, we're handed these little babies and we are given stewardship, not ownership,
mm-hmm.
stewardship over these little souls. And it is our job to steward them, to guide them into a healthy adult future. My job as a father of my two children is to prepare them to have a healthy relationship with God, to have a healthy relationship with the people around them, so that they can live into the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got to give them the tools to be able to do that. And then my hope is to prepare them to live, you know, this four-dimensional lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that we were created, the way that the world was created, God created the world, and he said, liberty is more important than control. And we know that because he gave us the dignity and the chaos associated with the freedom of choice. Like, because I have choice, I can make a big, big mess. He could have, like, wired us to be these little
robots,
automatrons. Yeah. So here's what I have to know for my children is that after, you know, you pick your age, but it's probably in the early teenage years.
Okay.
You have to shift your communication from control to care.
Hmm.
Because when people feel like someone is trying to control them, then they press back against that.
All they want to do is break free.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But when they feel like that somebody is telling them something because they care about them, then they respond very differently. And so I just call this the care versus control parenting model.
I like that.
And it is important. I hear adult men in their 60s say things to their adult male children in their 30s that are absolutely control statements.
Yeah.
And
power moves.
Well, I'm your
power play.
I mean, especially in family-run businesses, we do a lot of work in a family-run business.
Yeah.
In lots of family-run businesses, and it's not uncommon for the dad to have forgotten that he works with a grown man.
Yeah.
That his son is a grown man and not a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'll even ask the dad, "Hey, would you repeat that statement to me? That thing that you just told your son to do,
mm-hmm.
repeat that back to me and see if that feels weird."
Yeah.
Because
it's the same thing.
You just told a grown man what he can or can't, what vehicle he can or can't buy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't get to have an opinion about that anymore.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so that the question, you know, kind of is based around, can you make that shift from a control style of parenting, which is important early on.
Yeah.
I mean,
care.
I mean, at some point, you know, you're don't touch that
right.
because I said so.
Yeah.
Is a legitimate answer.
Yeah. There's a lot of scripture to back that up too.
Yeah. But, you know, it's that transition. And I think that's what makes healthy adult parent child relationships is when the parent can make that shift.
Right. I like the word stewardship and the word steward. That's mm-hmm. been a really big word in my life, mm-hmm. I think, over the last 12 months. And so thinking about all four fires and one or more of the areas that maybe is stubborn in my life or your life or any of the listeners' lives, not playing the victim card and saying, what are you going to do? I give up. That's not being a good steward. Mm-hmm. And so just accepting it, like, it's an honor to me that I feel honored that God has given me a body to steward and a job and work and money to manage and steward and a marriage. And like, I feel so honored to be a steward. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that's a shift too, is like, how do you think, what is your perspective on the things in your life? Do you see all of these four areas as a burden to your life, or is it I'm honored to have these four areas to work on and build because I know that God gave them to me for a reason.
We're handed these little lives down on this little chunk of dirt for a season, and our job is to live them well, mm-hmm. you know, and to pay attention to places where we're being inappropriately passive. I am wired, not an excuse. This is, I have a proclivity towards, my wife and I talk about financially, I play offense and she plays defense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go earn more money. Mm-hmm. Like, I will just, like, don't worry about it. I will spend and earn.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like somebody in their physical fire saying, I will exercise and eat whatever the heck I want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a winning recipe.
Right.
You know, like, the formula requires both offense and defense.
Right.
And
we say you can't out-exercise poor diet. So conversely, you can't out-earn poor spending habits.
That's 100% right.
Yeah.
And so, but I have been pretty passive in creating a family budget because it feels constraining to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. And if I'm being real honest, like, that's an area I've been overly passive in. And I need to, like, man up, own it, like, well, I've got some awareness, get some ownership of it now.
Yeah.
And I've been going through this process of disciplining myself to try to lean into that space. However, if I don't see success in that space, we said we were going to do it two or three times. We fell off. We didn't do it. We went back from, we were using the envelope system and that worked for a minute, but then it didn't. And there was a season in my life where I needed a guide to show me how to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know, I wasn't comfortable in the gym. I didn't know how many sets and how many, you know, like, reps per set I should be doing.
Certain types of exercises.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the idea of compound exercises was completely foreign. The idea of how many, you know, how many grams of protein should I be consuming, or should, what is a caloric surplus or caloric? Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of stuff that you can learn from people in a lot of spaces. So one of the things I think that is a red flag is thing to tell you about where you're being a victim or where you're being too passive are things that you are consistently frustrated about. If you have a friend that is not, they're not doing something healthy. Maybe they have a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself talking to your spouse about that friend more than about two or three times. And then you're not, and you have not then had a conversation with them. You're being passive in that space. Mm-hmm. You're dwelling in it and you're not dealing with it. So if they legitimately are a friend and you're concerned, go have the conversation.
Yeah.
Say the hard words. That would be an example of an area where you're being a victim. And it doesn't feel like you're like, but in your friend, the friend portion of your people fire, you are being a victim because you're not, you're just like, man, that's too bad. They're just like, no, be a fierce friend. Like, be the friend who will step in and go, I've talked about this two or three times with my wife and realized I wasn't doing anything about it, but it bothers me that you yell and scream at your spouse or that you're whatever. I mean, whatever it is that's got underneath your skin, do something about it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that, because I actually needed to hear that, because I've got a situation that is what you just described. And you hit the nail on the head, because Rachel and I have conversations, and and like when you said, have you talked to your spouse three or four times and then then you never actually go do anything? I absolutely have done that and am doing that. So
I am too.
Yeah.
That's why I can name that one.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, the Four Fires journey is we're never perfect in it. Mm-hmm. It is a state of consistent self-evaluation. Where am I winning? And acknowledge that. And you can, by the way, in spaces that you're winning in, you get to be a guide for somebody else.
Yeah.
But in areas that you're not winning in, and let's go so far as saying losing or maybe even just coasting, it's not failure to ask for help from a guide.
That's big, yeah.
Like the failure is being so passive that you don't even care enough to seek help.
Yeah.
The hero is the one that says, I need this. I need to win in this space so bad that I will do, I can be humble. Mm-hmm. I can be vulnerable. I don't care what it is that I need to do, how dumb I might need to look. I'm going to go find somebody who will help me in this space so that I can be a winner.
Yeah.
That's the real sign of of the move from victim to hero, is the willingness to do whatever it takes to win in that space.
Yeah.
So
that's good. Kind of had some thoughts about diving deeper into marriage stuff and like the emotional needs. Like when you were talking about your family budget, mm-hmm. and but then I just heard, and I know that some backstory too. Like Allison needs, she wants mm-hmm. She wants to know that we're good,
mm-hmm.
And that was a big thing that I realized with me and Rachel was that one of her big emotional needs was financial support. And what I realized was at the time, I was like, right when we first got married, I was like, well, okay, I got to like figure out how to make a lot of money because she mm-hmm. has this financial support. But actually, one of the quickest like things that I could give her was doing the budget for mm-hmm. me, our family. And that was the financial support that I was giving her. And that helped me. I guess that helped me be the hero in my people fire.
For sure.
Yeah. But so anyway, that was something that I thought of when you talked about the family budget. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. The need for security that we can provide, specifically, you know, husbands providing for wives is this idea of, you know, call it traditional, but provide and protect. The part of the way that you protect is by not overextending yourself.
Mm.
Like
right.
a guy who makes $50,000 a year and has developed a system to live off of 40.
To save money.
Versus a guy who's making $500,000 a year and lives off of $550.
Yeah.
one of them might be doing a fine job of the provide, but certainly not protecting. Mm-hmm. The guy who's making a lot more money and spending more than he makes is actually leaving him and his family wide open for mm-hmm. for attack and is not doing a good job of protection.
Yeah.
So the whole providing security for your family is less about how much you earn.
Or the lifestyle that you're living.
And is more about your ability to live in a system that is safe.
Yes. You want financial peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think one of the big takeaways from today is we all probably have fires that we're trying to build with wet wood, right? We're fires that are just stubborn. Everybody's got one. And they change throughout our lives. So be in a state of constant evaluation. Look at which one of my fires is the most difficult to manage right now or to get real flame out of. Ask yourself the question, legitimately, am I being a victim or am I being a hero in this space? And the telltale signs of victimhood are passivity and the dwelling in it. Specifically, think about conversations that you're having
mm-hmm.
with other people to complain about it.
Yeah, constant frustration, but then doing nothing about it.
But you're no action.
Right.
That's victimhood.
Yeah.
Can you get to the point of shifting from victim to hero, meaning I'm willing to push? You push for a while, and if you can't get it by yourself, that's okay. That's a natural part of the story of life, is that heroes need guides.
Yeah.
And guess what? Guides need heroes to lead.
Yeah.
And so find somebody who's strong in that space. Ask them for help. Specifically, it's, you know, invite them into that space in your life. Tell them everything that they would need to know in order to help you well. That might be an executive coach. That might be a pastor. That might be a marriage counselor. That might be a nutritionist. That might be a personal trainer. That might be a person who has a lot of friends, has really rich friendships, and you recognize that you don't have any. And you just look at them and go, man, I need friends like yours. What do I do?
Yeah.
And not surface level Don't let them laugh at it. Like, I legitimately need your help in this space because what you have is really, really important to my health.
Yeah.
Go acknowledge that space where you're discomfort or you're dissatisfied. Seek the guide. Get them to walk with you in it for a season. But be willing to do the work yourself. The guide doesn't do the work for you. They provide a model and an example. And sometimes a kick in the pants. But it's not their job to nag you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of the key takeaway from today. We want all of our people living more four-dimensionally, and all of us have one stubborn fire.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this is a good way to frame and think about what do we do to be a little more four-dimensional every day. We can attack specifically those stubborn fires by seeking guides and being heroes
right.
in those spaces.
That's it. Well, thanks, Alan. I always enjoy our conversations.
For sure.
And guys, be sure to live intentionally, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Four Fires Podcast.